Surprise. How's everybody doing today? I think we're all better than Pastor Scott this morning, so that's good. I got a message late last night asking if I'd be able to fill in this morning, and I thought of lots of responses. And then I thought better of most of them, and then I said, sure, I can do it. So that's where we are today. So, excuse me, thank you for being here this morning and not heading for the parking lot when you heard about the switcheroo. Hopefully you can all stick around for the sprinkling afterwards. Would you all pray with me this morning? Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this chance to come together and to hear from your word together, to lift our voices in song to you. And just ask that this time together would be a time of just praise and worship to you. We also just ask for just your healing, not only for Pastor Scott, but for all of those that are sick. And just that it would be a speedy recovery. And we thank you for this time to come together, and we thank you for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, so since it was kind of a last-minute thing for me to preach this morning, I was also kind of given the ability to pick what I wanted to preach about. So I went back to a story that is something that I enjoyed as a child, but something that as I've grown older, I've been able to kind of look at with new eyes and kind of appreciate more of just what's going on in the story. And it's something that we've talked with the kids downstairs and a story that I've shared with Isaiah at home. So if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 19, we're going to be talking about Zacchaeus this morning. And I don't think we can talk about Zacchaeus without getting this out of the way. So the first thing that we have to know about Zacchaeus was that he was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. All right, so now that that's out of our system, should we say it one more time, or is everybody good? All right, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. All right, let's hold on. We'll get there, all right? That's the closing song for today, so we'll get there. All right, so Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10 together. It says, he, being Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. All right, so in these short 10 verses, I didn't want to say short, but I said it. In these 10 verses, we can see Jesus is coming to town. He's coming to Jericho. And I couldn't help but be reminded of a parade when this happened. And specifically, just a few weeks ago, the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. And after that happened, they had a victory parade where they go through Kansas City and people stand and wave and cheer and throw things at the players and lots of fun. But specifically, I was thinking of a man named Kenny Richardson, who's not on the Kansas City Chiefs, but he's a big fan. Such a big fan that he decided he was going to climb a tree so he could get a look at the parade, and it did not go as well as it did for Zacchaeus in our story. On the way up the tree, Mr. Richardson lost his pants, or they didn't just completely disappear. It wasn't like diving into a swimming pool, but he was, just say he was probably a lot chillier once he got up the tree than he was on the ground. And the unfortunate thing is he didn't stay in the tree very long because he also fell out of the tree. And since someone from the crowd took a video of this, because that's the world we live in, everything's on video somewhere, and that video has gone viral, and I think Mr. Richardson, he tweeted that he was okay, and no one ever lies on Twitter, so I think he's okay. But I think because of his fall, he was actually able to probably have a better chance of meeting some of these players that he was so desperate to see. Or maybe they're like, this crazy guy climbed up in a tree and fell. I don't want to go anywhere near him. I don't know. But the thing is, we wouldn't know who Kenny Richardson was if he didn't climb up in this tree. And I think we can probably draw the same conclusion about Zacchaeus. If he doesn't climb up in this tree, we don't know exactly what would happen with his life. The reason that he climbed this tree is why we're talking about him. So if we take a look at Zacchaeus, there's a few things that we can draw out from the text that'll tell us a little bit about him. Yes, he's short. We've already covered that. We're going to move past it. The thing that I really want to bring up is that he's a tax collector. And obviously, all of us adults here, we're not crazy about paying taxes. I mean, that's, or if you are, I don't know. You can pay mine, too, if you like paying them. That's fine. But in the time that Zacchaeus was a tax collector, he was part of a country that was under Roman rule, and the way that the Romans would take care of things is they would put people from those areas in charge of things like taxes and kind of just give them free reign. So Zacchaeus was responsible for collecting taxes and sending them back to Rome, but there were no real rules against him just collecting some extra for himself. So he's a Hebrew living among his own people and collecting taxes for them on behalf of this government that's been established, this government that's oppressing them, this government that they want to be free from. So he's already got a strike against him there. And then on top of that, he's enriching himself off of these taxes and taking more than the government is asking for. And there's really nothing that they can do about it. So Zacchaeus, he's not under a lot of oversight, and he's definitely not willing to regulate himself, and because of that, he's just not a very well-liked guy in his own community. So when he hears that Jesus is coming to town, he, like everyone else, is curious, but he's not exactly sure how that's gonna play out, what that's gonna look like. And we can also take a look at the crowd, because just like Zacchaeus, they're curious as to what's going on with Jesus. If we look back at Luke chapter 18, at the very end, you can see that Jesus has healed a blind man. And, of course, word of all these miracles that Jesus has performed is getting around, and people are hearing what he's done. People are curious. People want to see what's going on. Just like Kenny Richardson wanted to see this parade, that's how it was when Jesus would come to town. People want to see what's going on. They want to see if what they've heard is true. They want to see the miracles that Jesus has done, maybe the miracles that he will do in their presence. And while this is going on, there's a crowd that gathers, and either they don't take note of Zacchaeus being there because he's the type of person that they ignore, or they really just don't care because they don't like him. But they, because they are there and they're gathered, there's no way for Zacchaeus to have a clear view of Jesus and to be able to see what's going on. And Zacchaeus recognizes this. So he runs ahead, and he climbs the tree. as we all know from the song. And he does this so that he can just have a passing glance at Jesus as he walks by. So Jesus, when he comes to town, he doesn't do what's expected. He doesn't do what the crowd thinks he will do. Instead, he makes a beeline for Zacchaeus, and he reaches out to him, and he says, "Zacchaeus, I've got to come to your house today." And he treats Zacchaeus not only with humanity and with dignity, but he treats him as someone to be treasured. Where Zacchaeus has spent his life taking treasures from other people, and in that moment, Jesus recognizes Zacchaeus for not who he is in that moment, but who he can be and what can happen in Zacchaeus' life. So Jesus says, "Come down, I'm coming to your house today." And Zacchaeus immediately jumps out of the tree and takes Jesus to his house, and they share a meal there. And while they're there, Zacchaeus, as we read in the text, he decides that he's going to repay what he owes, and he's going to give up half of what he has to help those in need. And this just simply wasn't supposed to happen. This isn't what the plan should be. This isn't normal. You don't get rewarded for climbing a tree at a parade and trying to get a better view. Those are the types of things that are, looked down upon, not only in our society, but I would imagine in any society. And the crowd, as they see this happen, they don't appreciate what Zacchaeus has done. They begin to grumble, and they say, "Why is Jesus going to eat with this sinner? What's going on?" And what I think we can really see in this story isn't just a man who had climbed a tree to see Jesus and Jesus reaching out to him. I think this is an example of what I'm going to call a living parable. Throughout Scripture, throughout the Gospels, we have these stories where Jesus will illustrate a point, or he will talk about something, and he will use just ordinary terms in order to communicate something extraordinary about God's kingdom. He will talk about, 99 sheep and one gets lost and the shepherd goes to look after him. Or he will talk about, the man who's beaten on the path and the Samaritan who stops to help him. And we have all of these accounts of parables, and some are really well known and some we don't fully grasp and understand, but the idea behind them is this is Jesus using a story, using literary devices to help illustrate something about what God's kingdom looks like. And in Zacchaeus, I think that same thing is happening, but this is actually a real life account of what has happened. This isn't Jesus telling a story about a short man who couldn't see him as he passed by and he climbed in a tree, but instead this is Jesus recognizing in the moment that Zacchaeus is someone in need, someone who's willing to go to the lengths of climbing a tree in order to see him, and recognizing that in that moment Zacchaeus has not only a need for Jesus, but he also has something to offer the people around him. So we have this real tangible thing that's happening, and it's not just a parable or a story, but it's something real and something that I think that we can learn from this morning. So as we take a look at this story, I think there are three kind of main characters or main elements. We have Zacchaeus, we have the crowd, and we have Jesus. And I think there's something that we can learn either from this story or learn about ourselves from these three. And if we start with Zacchaeus, I think it's easy to see what we can learn from Zacchaeus. We see someone who was wanting to see Jesus to the point where he climbed in a tree. So he was looking for something. And I think all of us at some point in our lives have been looking for something, some sort of answer, some sort of direction, some sort of purpose. And Zacchaeus, when he looked, he found what he was looking for, probably to a much greater extent than he ever intended. I don't think when he climbed the tree, he thought Jesus was going to come right up and speak to him. And Zacchaeus could have been just content to say, hey, Jesus talked to me, and that's really great. And he could have used that to somehow curry favor with him within his community and say, hey, Jesus, when he came through town, he didn't walk right up to you and talk. He came right up to me. He found me in the tree, and he spoke to me. So clearly I'm somebody of importance. But that wasn't how Zacchaeus looked at it. Not only did he look for Jesus, but he listened to what Jesus said. And when Jesus told him to get out of the tree, I'm coming to your house, he jumped out of the tree. He leapt down. And because of that, he welcomed Jesus into his home. And I don't know about you guys, but if I meet somebody today on the street and they're like, hey, I want to come to your house, I'm like, I don't know. Hold on a second. Let me check with my wife and see. I don't know what the condition of our house is. Can we have unexpected guests today?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. All right. So, Zacchaeus, he didn't hesitate. He didn't say, well, hold on, I got to clean things up. And it doesn't say in the story that Zacchaeus, you know, that he was a married man or anything like that. So I don't know what the state of his house was. But I'm assuming that typically if you're not planning for a guest, you're not fully prepared for a guest. But Zacchaeus didn't let this stop him. He allowed Jesus to come to his house. And they shared a meal together. And through that time, Zacchaeus saw the error of his ways. He saw where he had been going about things the wrong way. And he decided it was time for a life change. And what we see in this is that obeying Jesus and listening to Jesus has a cost. And we know that salvation is free through Jesus Christ in the sense that we can't purchase it. It's not something that we can buy. But I think that truly encountering the grace of Christ comes at a cost. And for Zacchaeus, it was a pretty steep cost. Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it this way. He said that costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field, that for the sake of it, a man will go and sell all that he has. It's the pearl of great price to buy which the merchant will sell all his goods. It is the kingly rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ at which the disciple leaves his nets and follows him. So this grace of Christ, it's something that has cost. And for Zacchaeus, we can see that it cost him this fortune that he had accumulated. He gave away half of all that he owned to the poor. And then anyone that he had ripped off, he gave back four times what he had stolen from them. And I'm not sure how those numbers work out, because he's a guy who had made his money from ripping people off. But I think if you're giving away half of what you own and then repaying people four times what you owe them, it's pretty easy to see that Zacchaeus was going from somebody who had a life of luxury and a life of riches to somebody who would have little or nothing. And that's simply something that costs more than, you know, being willing to climb in a tree and being willing to listen to Jesus that as he spoke to him to come out of the tree. It's someone that encountered Jesus, and because of that, he recognized the error of his ways, and he didn't leave and forget what he had learned, but he had completely changed his life and turned his life around. And we don't know how Zacchaeus turns out after this account that we have in Luke, but I think it's pretty easy to say that if you go through what he did, you're not going to just immediately turn back to the same ways that you had been living your life before. So there's a lot that we can learn from Zacchaeus and a lot that we can learn about just what it means to follow Christ through Zacchaeus' example. But I also think that there's a lot that we can learn from the crowd. The crowd, they had the right idea in a lot of ways. They were there. They were trying to see Jesus. They wanted to have a better understanding of what Jesus was about and what he was trying to accomplish. And maybe there was some just general curiosity about what exactly Jesus had been doing. Or maybe it was genuine, like, is this really the Son of God? But no matter what it was, the crowd had gathered to see Jesus as he passed through. But what the crowd did, whether it was intentional or whether they realized it or not, was they blocked Zacchaeus from being able to see Jesus. And despite this, Zacchaeus was still able to encounter Jesus, and his life was still changed. But it doesn't seem like the crowd was fully able to recognize how they were wrong in this situation. How, because of their own desire to have things just how they wanted them, they were keeping someone else from encountering Christ, or they were trying to keep someone from encountering Christ. And then after they saw the results of Jesus and Zacchaeus coming together, in what should be a cause for celebration, this man who has been ripping us off for years, this man who's taken our money and taken our taxes and then some, and now Jesus is going into his house. Instead of that being a cause of celebration, it's just something that caused more concern, more consternation among the people. This is something that angered them, and they grumbled and said, "What is Jesus doing with that sinner?" And the crowd looks at themselves as somehow better than this man who's been cheating them and taking from them. And they consider him a sinner who doesn't deserve to have time with Jesus. But in reality, the crowd isn't all that different than Zacchaeus. And they weren't tax collectors that were cheating people, but they were still people in need of grace and forgiveness. And they were people a lot like all of us that are gathered here today. And it's really unfortunate that the crowd that had gathered, they weren't able to get out of the way. They weren't able to get not only out of Zacchaeus' way, but really out of their own way. Because these feelings and these ideas of resentment that they had against Zacchaeus, yes, they were contributing to keeping Zacchaeus away from Jesus, but they were also just clouding their own vision of what Jesus was and their own understanding of what Jesus' message was. So, unfortunately, I think we can all relate to the crowd from time to time, and I think that there's times where we're fully ready to embrace God's grace in our own lives and to kind of glaze over our shortcomings and our mistakes, and the times where, you know, we've fallen short and we recognize that, but it's okay because Jesus forgives us. And we're able to do that in our own lives. But I think there are a lot of times where we're hesitant to extend that same grace to others. And just like the crowd was there to get a glimpse of Jesus for themselves without really recognizing what was going on around them, I think that's what our Christian life can turn into. It's where we are fully content with being consumers on our own and not being concerned about the needs of others around us, and where it's more about what makes us comfortable and what makes us feel good than it is about what might communicate the love of Christ to others. So unfortunately, just like the crowd is part of the problem in this story, I think that can describe me, and I think that can describe a lot of us from time to time. Which brings us to the third main party in this story, and it brings us to Jesus and what we can learn from Jesus. And obviously, in this story, and when we tell this story, Jesus is the hero of the story. And it's the same when we tell it with our kids, and it's the same as we look at it together this morning. We see that Jesus comes to a man in need, a man who has tried to find his own way, but is just sorely lacking in what truly matters. And Jesus offers Zacchaeus hope and redemption, just like he offers hope and redemption in our lives. But the thing about Jesus is he often does this in ways that don't seem right on the surface to us. Jesus offers us this hope and this grace in ways that just kind of confound us and confuse us and make us think that Jesus just doesn't quite have things the way that they should be. And the more that I study and learn about Christ, the more I realize that Jesus just has this knack of picking the wrong people. And we can see it time and time again in the New Testament, and we can see it in the disciples he chooses. Because this isn't the first time that Jesus has encountered a tax collector. Zacchaeus worked for the government, but even Matthew, one of Christ's own disciples, did the same thing where he would collect taxes from people. And if Jesus is willing to choose someone like that to be one of his 12, one of the people that follow most closely with him, it seems to me that maybe Jesus is spending or choosing the wrong people. And we can also see this in the way that he wants to spend time with the children, even when those same disciples that he's chosen want to rush him along to the next thing, the next part of their journey, the next place that they have to go, the next people that Jesus needs to meet with or heal with. And we can see that Jesus chooses the wrong people when he says that he's going to build his church on the rock, that is Peter, because it's the same Peter that denied Jesus 3 times before the rooster could crow. And that's the same Peter that Christ says that the church is going to be built around. And we can see that Jesus chooses what we would think is the wrong person when he chooses Saul, who's this great persecutor of the church, someone who's going around trying to stop Christianity. And that's the person that Jesus is going to choose to take the message of the gospel to the Gentiles and ultimately spread the message of the gospel throughout the whole world. It just seems that time and time again, Jesus is picking the wrong people. He's spending his time with the people that he shouldn't be spending his time with. He's investing himself and his energy into people that we might call lost causes. At least that's how it looks in our estimation. Because if it was left to us or if it was left to the crowd, I don't think the requirements would be the same. And I think that if we got to decide who got to receive the grace of Christ, I don't think that we would make the same choices that Jesus did. But as I say that this morning, I just have to say, thank God that it's not up to us. Because I can stand up here and I can find fault in people and I can nitpick people and I can find a reason to think why any among us isn't worthy of Christ. And I can, just as much, I can do that to myself because I know myself and my flaws better than I know anyone else. And I can pick apart myself and think, I'm not worthy of this. I don't deserve this. I shouldn't be in front of people talking about Jesus because I don't have everything in perfect order myself. And I just thank God that that's not the case, that it isn't up to us to decide, but rather Jesus came for sinners and to save sinners, and that Jesus, when he would go through a town, he wouldn't go to the important people. He wouldn't go to who the crowd might pick out as most important or most impressive person, but rather Jesus would notice a man in a tree, and that's who he would choose to work through. So even when we don't see what's happening, how God's working, we can know that God is working, because throughout Scripture and throughout our own lives, we can see that Jesus is frequently calling on who we might consider to be the wrong person, or we might consider somebody to be not as deserving, but that's who Jesus continually goes to. In 1 Corinthians 1, It says that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And it goes on to list all of these ways where God's wisdom is different than man's wisdom, and how the way God views the world and the way God views his creation is different than the way we look at it and the way we think about it. And it says, let the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. Because ultimately, if we're left to our own devices, if we're left to our own way of doing things, we're not much different than the crowd where we just get wrapped up in ourselves, in our own view of things. We get wrapped up in trying to make sure that we have what's best for us and we're most comfortable, and we ignore those around us that need Jesus just as much as we do. So just as we close today, I want to challenge all of us to remember this, that God's wisdom is greater than ours, and even when it looks like Jesus is choosing the wrong person, Jesus puts the wrong people in the right places, and it's our job not to get caught standing around like the crowd, and it's our job to not complain and grumble, but to be just ever reminded of our need for Jesus in our own lives. May we be constantly reminded of the grace that Christ has extended to us and where we would be without that. And may that influence and impact the way that we encounter those that we come across in our daily lives and the way we treat them, and the way that we think about all of God's creation and everyone that that we come in contact with. And just pray that we would live a life that would be just ever reminded of our need to share the very same gospel message that we need for ourselves. The very same redemption and the very same grace and forgiveness that we want to claim in Jesus is that same forgiveness that we need to extend to others around us. So as we conclude this morning and the band comes up, I just pray that it would be something that would stick with us as we go throughout this week and throughout just throughout our lives, that we wouldn't go from here and, you know, having witnessed something and leave like the crowd and just wait for the next time to come together and see some sort of show, but rather we would be like Zacchaeus, where we would listen to what God is telling us, listen to what Jesus is saying, and that we would take that to heart, and that our lives would be different because of it. Would you bow with me and pray? Lord God, I thank you again for this morning, and I thank you for this time to share from your word. Lord, most of all, thank you for the grace that you extend to all of us, and the way that you see us in our moment of need, and just the way that you move in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would just work on our hearts, and that we would be just mindful of just your grace and your love, and that we would extend that grace and love to others. And I thank you for Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.